Turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to read just the first couple of verses, about verse 15 to 17. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin, and the passage we'll be talking about is in there. But we're going to start in verse 15 of chapter 7 of the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? The Chariots of Fire is a story about Eric Liddell, who won a gold medal in the 400-meter race at the 1924 Olympics in Paris, France. After the Olympics, he became a missionary to China. He was a wonderful and godly man. He was also much loved, and so much so that the Chinese erected a monument to him after his death. And I also understand that the Chinese are currently producing a movie as a tribute to his life and service to them. Eric Liddell was so popular in his day that when he left Edinburgh for China in 1925, thousands of people went to the port just to get a glimpse of him boarding the ship so that they could wish him farewell. But you may not know the rest of the story. During World War II, he was taken prisoner and was among the 2,000 people who were crowded into a Japanese internment camp in China. Before his arrest, Liddell managed to get his wife, Florence, and their two children to safety in Canada. She was pregnant at the time with their third daughter, whom Eric would never see. Unfortunately, just before the end of the war, of World War II, Eric Liddell developed a brain tumor. Because of the war, he was not able to get appropriate medical attention, and he died several weeks later. He was just 42 years old when he died. Now, how could this possibly be? Eric Liddell was a godly man who lived to glorify Christ. He was a tremendous testimony to the grace of God. He was able to influence thousands of people to consider the claims of the gospel. Yet this man endured some serious hardship in his life and died at what we would consider a young age of 42. How can this be? How can it be that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? Solomon struggled with the fact that godly people suffer and die young. Sometimes they do. And ungodly people sometimes lead long, prosperous lives. He struggled with this. You know, some people try to say, contrary to what we see in this passage of Scripture, that if you live the way you ought to, if you have enough faith, if you say the right things, if you have the right thoughts, then you're going to have a wonderful, prosperous life that is free of problems and despair. Well, I want you to understand, that's not what the Bible tells us. If you go to any bookstore or website that sells books, you will find a number of books from best-selling Christian authors of our time. Among some of these things that you will read in these books are the following quotations. Let me read some of them for you, and I'm not going to give you the authors' names, but I just want you to understand what is being taught by some people in the realm of the church. Here's one quote. To live your best life now, you must start looking at life through the eyes of faith. Seeing yourself as rising to new levels. See your business taking off. See your marriage restored. See your family prospering. See your dreams coming to pass. You must conceive it and believe it is possible if you ever hope to experience it. Here's another quote. But if you develop an image of victory, success, health, abundance, joy, and peace, and happiness, nothing on earth will be able to hold those things from you. See the way that doesn't jive with what we're hearing in the Bible? But if you, here's another one. He's a progressive God, and he wants every generation to be increasing in happiness, success, and significance. No matter where you are in life, God has more in store. Now, that is not biblically accurate information. These excerpts are representative of an increasingly popular theology that is referred to by several different names, like prosperity gospel, name it, claim it, word of faith, health and wealth. In other words, if you have the right kind of thoughts, if you have the right kind of faith, then everything's going to be wonderful. Well, guess what? We don't see that here in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Solomon makes it very clear that he has seen righteous people, good, godly people, suffer in this world and even die at a young age. So, I'll take the Bible's teaching on this over what others may say to get people to listen to their message. I want us to understand that because it's important that we see in our lives that although we need to live godly, that doesn't guarantee that we're not going to have problems, that we're not going to face struggles in our lives. And I think it also tells us that if we are facing struggles in our lives, it doesn't mean that it's because God's punishing us or that we've done something wrong in our lives. I think it means that we need to understand there is a sovereign God who has some problems and difficulties for us to go through in this world. And as we trust Him, we can escape these things. I have seen circumstances, even recently, where I have had to ask God? Why did this happen? And I still don't have the answer. I still don't understand why God allowed that to happen or other things to happen. So, how do we live in a world that seems contradictory? How do we live in a world where this paradox takes place? That question is the one I believe we will find an answer to as we study this passage. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we should live in a contradictory world. Let's look at verses 15 through 18 again. It says, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Now, my first point is this. Have a steady approach in your battle with sin. Have a steady approach in your battle with sin. I think that's the first advice we see from Solomon. Now, at first glance, this may seem like Solomon is endorsing a little sin in our lives. You know, when I first read it real quickly, I'm like, you know, hey, maybe he's saying it's okay to have a little sin in your life, you know? And I think that's what we would be tempted to believe. But I think we need to take the whole of Scripture in this. And if we really study what he's trying to say here, I think we'll come to a different conclusion than that. Understand, because of his wisdom, Solomon had a good understanding of human nature. Because of his wisdom, Solomon had a good understanding of human nature. And our nature is to go to one extreme or the other. Our nature is to either go to one extreme or the other. We are we naturally go to extremes. We tend to go to extremes. This is what the Pharisees did in the time of Jesus. Now, the Pharisees in the time of Jesus sought to be super righteous in order to gain favor with God. The Pharisees sought to be super righteous in order to gain favor with God. Let's take a look at what Jesus said about their approach towards sin. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. In verse 23. So these Pharisees that were trying to be super righteous, look what he says to them. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Now, here's what Jesus is trying to say to these people. You can't manipulate God into giving you long and prosperous life by living a super righteous lifestyle or any other way for that matter. Now, let me explain. So these Pharisees, they weren't just making sure they tithed all that they had, right down to the herbs that they had. But they were also making additional rules and regulations to live by in order to gain favor with God. You know, they would only take so many steps on the Sabbath day. They would make sure they cleaned their hands like several times a day to make sure that they had favor with God. They had all kinds of rules and regulations in order to gain favor with God. This is what Solomon's talking about. Trying to be super righteous in order to manipulate God into blessing them. That is the kind of thing that we need to avoid. You can't manipulate God into giving you a long and prosperous life by living a super righteous lifestyle or any other way as well. You can't say a special prayer to manipulate God. I read one book that said, basically, if you'll pray this prayer every day, then you will gain the blessings of God. I'm sorry, but that's not a magic formula for being able to avoid problems and difficulties and suffering in this life. It's not going to happen. You can't manipulate God that way. There's no special prayer that you can say to avoid the things that God has sovereignly destined you to go through. There's no way. Your positive thoughts won't manipulate God. You can think you're going to be a millionaire all you want, but if God wants you to be a middle-class worker the rest of your life, that's exactly what you're going to be. I don't care how many positive thoughts you have about it. That's the way it's going to be. God doesn't want you to live righteously because of selfish reasons. That's the bottom line here. The bottom line is God knows your heart. Why are you so righteous? Why are you so careful to say the right things? Why are you so careful to think the right thoughts? Is it to please God or to get favor for selfish reasons? That's what we need to discuss here. That's what we need to understand. God doesn't want you to live righteously because of selfish reasons. He wants you to live righteously because you love and respect Him. That's why He wants you to live righteously. This is what Solomon means when he says in verse 18, "He who fears God will escape them all." Love and respect for God. That's what it means by fearing God. When you love and respect God, you're going to escape the stupidity of trying to live a super righteous life to manipulate God. You're going to escape the temptation to just give up. To say, this world is just so messed up and I can't figure it out, so I give up. I can't figure out my problems. I can't figure out anything. I give up. I'm just going to live whatever way I want and fall to the temptations that I may, whatever. When you fear God, you will escape them all. You will have a balanced approach in your lifestyle. You will have a balanced approach towards the problem of sin. You know, some will be tempted to give up on their battle with sin because something bad has happened in their life, or they just don't see how it is benefiting them. Remember, if we fear God by living our lives out of love and respect for Him, we will escape them all. God has set up a way of escape for all the problems of life. Did you hear that? I want you to understand, there is a positive side to this. God has set up a way of escape for all the problems of life. Ultimate resolution to all the problems of life are solved through Jesus Christ. They are solved through Jesus Christ. You see, God understands the predicaments of our life. He understands that this world is contradictory and it has inherent problems. So what did He do? Before He even started the world, He figured out a plan. And that plan involved His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, coming to this earth, living a sinless life, and sacrificing that life on a cross so that we could have heaven as our home, so that we could have our sins forgiven. He rose from the dead to show us that He has power over life and that that promise of eternal life that He has given to us, He can come through on. And because of that promise, ultimately, we will overcome all of the problems of life. If we will trust in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, then we will be able to overcome all the problems of this life. And it is in that relationship with Jesus, and this is my second point, it's in our relationship with Jesus where we find the wisdom to have a balanced lifestyle. It's in that relationship with Jesus that says, "Lord, I trust You to forgive me of my sins. I trust You to take me to heaven. And I trust You to guide my life." When you have that kind of relationship with Jesus, it will help you have the wisdom you need to have a balanced lifestyle. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 24 of 1 Corinthians, it's talking about Jesus here, and it says, "But to those who are called," to those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who are trusting in Jesus, "both Jews and Greeks, whoever it is, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, this verse makes it clear. Jesus is called the power and wisdom of God. Jesus is called the power and wisdom of God. So it is in our relationship with Jesus that we find the wisdom to avoid trying to manipulate God in our lifestyle. Our relationship with Jesus is where we find the power to resist the temptation of sin. This correlates with the words we find in Ecclesiastes. Turn back there to Ecclesiastes. Look at verses 19 through 22. It says, wisdom strengthens the wise. Remember where our wisdom comes from. It comes from Jesus, right? He is the wisdom of God. More than 10 rulers of the city. So our strength also comes from Jesus, right? Our strength and our wisdom comes from Jesus. For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. Now, Solomon emphasizes the power of wisdom. Then he gives us some wisdom. Now understand, we need this relationship with Jesus because that's where the wisdom of God comes from. And when we have wisdom, it helps us in our battle with sin. As you battle with sin, don't get discouraged by what others say about you. Boy, doesn't it hurt when someone criticizes you? Doesn't it hurt when you're trying to do right and then someone says something bad about you? When you're trying to do right and someone criticizes you? Well, there's a couple things to keep in mind. First of all people are sinners. You know what? Everybody is going to say something stupid at some time in their life. And that something stupid may be said to you. And guess what? You've said something stupid before as well. That's what the passage is telling us. Have you ever said anything that you wish you could take back? Obviously, absolutely. Remember that. Remember that people will let you down sometimes. But Jesus never will. Jesus never will. And that's what we need to keep focused on. As we're trying to live for the Lord, as we're trying to battle sin in our lives, don't let people discourage you. Don't let their ill-timed remarks get you down. Don't let them make you give up in your battle with sin. Sometimes even people trying to help you will say something in a way that you take it wrong. They may not have intended it to be bad, but, you know, it comes across to you that way. Or maybe they just didn't think it through and they just said something they wish they hadn't. Don't let that hinder your relationship with the Lord and trying to battle sin in your life. When you try to live for the Lord, you will face criticism. I remember before I became a Christian, when I was in college, there was one guy who was a Christian in one of my English classes. And I remember basically the whole class picking on him and, you know, criticizing him for his beliefs. And I wish I could find that guy someday and apologize to him and say, thank you for taking a stand for the Lord. I wish I could find him that someday. But anyways, the fact of the matter is that it's inherent that when we try to live for the Lord, we're going to face criticisms because of the lifestyle choices that God has for us. Remember, all people are sinners. They can say discouraging things to you, but don't let people dictate your lifestyle. Let your relationship with Jesus Christ dictate your lifestyle. Finally, I want us to understand you're not going to be able to figure out all the complexities of life. Solomon in all his wisdom couldn't do it. So avoid the schemes of people by trusting God. That's what I want us to understand. Another question that has come to my mind in thinking about our world, and this one really gives me brain cramps. Why did God even allow sin? Why did God allow sin? Why did he allow the devil to come to the earth? Why did he allow the devil to come into the Garden of Eden? I don't understand that. Now, I can give you some answers that I, you know, can speculate on. I understand we have a free will, that maybe God wanted us to make a choice. I understand all that. But you know what? God could have done it differently. You know, he's capable of doing anything he wants. But this is the way it's set up. I can't figure that out. I can't. But guess what? Neither could Solomon. And that's what he tells us in verses 23 through 29. He tells us, hey, I can't figure this all out. It's way too deep for me. He says in verse 24, as for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it? This stuff is way too deep for us. It's way too much for us to understand. We're not going to understand all the complexities of life. So even Solomon concludes that he could not figure it all out, but he does have a response. And that's what I want us to see. There is a response we should have in all of this. First, he says, God made man upright. Look at verse 29. It says, truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright. You know, God made man upright. He gave him everything he needed to live a righteous life, to live a life that would be pleasing to God and to live a life that would bring him happiness, prosperity, and nothing but bliss for all eternity. But then he says in verse 29, but they have sought out many schemes. Man has. He says that man has sought out many schemes. So, what's the conclusion? God is not to blame for our battle with sin. God is not to blame. We are. God's sovereignty is not the problem here. And it's not what we should be focused on. It's our sinfulness that is the problem. So, follow the Lord even when you don't understand what he is doing in your life. We're not going to be able to figure all this complexity out. We're not. But if we remember that God's not to blame and that it is our schemes that are to blame, it will help us trust in him even when we can't figure it out. Even when we have problems in our lives that we just don't understand why God would let those things happen. Even if we see good, godly people suffering, even if we see the wicked prospering, we can trust the Lord and know that he is going to work it all out. The key to living in this contradictory world is to having a relationship with Jesus Christ based on trusting him as the Savior of our soul and the giver of eternal life. In John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they know me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. There's the ultimate solution to all the complexities and contradictory things in our lives. There is the ultimate solution. There is the answer, and that is what we should be focused on. So let's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and for facing the complexities of this world. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you so much for providing the ultimate solution to all of the complexities of life, to all the problems of life, to all the battles that we have with the sin in this world. Father, I pray that you would help us to trust in you, to give us wisdom, and to give us strength as we determine our lifestyle. Lord, I pray that we would see that we can't manipulate you into doing what we want, but we have to submit ourselves to what you have for us. And in doing so, then we find real peace and real freedom.